So the topic of forgiveness is relevant to every human being that's ever lived, because every human being is a fallen human being, and so we end up hurting each other, whether we mean to or not. And just by living, we end up getting hurt, whether it was done accidentally or done intentionally to us. This past week, as I was thinking about this gospel, I was just thinking of the different times in my life that I've gone to another to ask for forgiveness. And I was also thinking of people who I'm not sure have forgiven me for something that I did. And I was also thinking about the people that I've forgiven and the people I still need to forgive. So this is a challenging gospel. It's a challenging command from Jesus that touches each one of our lives. And so it's good to be thinking about who in my life haven't I forgiven, and how might I do that with the Lord. Peter's question today: Lord, how often must I forgive? As many as 7 times? This is not Peter being petty, trying to put a number on the number of times he's forgiving, because 7 is not a small number of times to forgive somebody. So if, let's say, somebody cheated you and they did it once and you forgave them, that would be hard enough to do it a second time. If they did it again, that would be much harder. To forgive them a third time after they had cheated you a third time. When Peter says as many as 7 times, I mean, that's very difficult to do. It helps us to remember that 7 is a symbolic number. It was in the time of Jesus. So when Peter says, must we forgive as many as 7 times? What that really means is, must we always forgive? Because 7 is the perfect number. Must we forgive perfectly? And I think it's interesting that Peter would ask this. Clearly, he knew that Jesus taught forgiveness. And he would have had personal experience from this because of how close he was to Jesus and how close the group of disciples were to one another. They spent all of their time together. And so it's very easy to imagine that the 12 being together would often get in disputes, fight with one another. We have evidence in the gospel for this. There's that scene where John and James, who are brothers, come up to Jesus and they say, in your kingdom, we want to sit on your right side and your left side. And the gospel tells us that the other disciples were really annoyed with them for saying this. So obviously, there would have been conflicts within the community of disciples, but yet gathered around Jesus, they would have had someone who was constantly directing them to forgive what had been done to them. So the disciples were already learning, okay, this is something that Jesus is very serious about. So I think this is the context for Peter asking, do we always have to forgive? You talk about it so much. Do we have to forgive perfectly? So I think that's the context. The answer that Jesus gives is also very interesting. Jesus says not 7 times, but 77 times. And again, if we're thinking, the number 7 is symbolic, it means perfect or always, then we realize Jesus is saying, you don't always have to forgive, you always, always, and everywhere have to forgive. So he's just putting an exclamation point on his answer. Why would Jesus ask us to do something so hard? You know, Jesus doesn't say, well, for little offenses, you must forgive. But for serious offenses against you, I mean, Jesus doesn't qualify this. He says we always must forgive, no matter what the offense, or no matter how seriously we've been hurt. So why would Jesus ask us to do something so hard? Well, I think this is the whole reason that he tells this little story about the king and the servant. The servant comes before the king, and we're told that he owes a huge amount. Now, that's our English translation, huge amount. But in the Greek, it translates to, I want to make sure I get this right, it translates to 10,000 talents. One talent was worth 10,000 denarii, and one denarii was a day's wage. So, I don't know, $80, $100 in equivalent. So, what was owed, if one year I did the math, and what was actually owed was like $10 billion in equivalent to our own money. That's the amount that was owed. It actually would have been impossible for him ever to pay off the debt, which is kind of funny that he says, be patient with me and I will pay you back in full. Well, he's never going to be able to. It's a huge, huge debt that he owes. So all the more generous then we see is the forgiveness. The king forgives that humongous debt. And then, of course, the story continues, and that servant who owed a huge debt puts in prison someone else who owes him a much smaller debt. So why does Jesus tell this story? Well, because the king is him. And who's the servant? The first servant who owes an infinitely large debt that he's never going to be able to pay off on his own. Well, that's me. That's you. Because every time we sin against the infinite love of God. And what in the world could we do to make up for an offense against God's infinite love? It's impossible for us. Which is why there's Jesus. Because Jesus, who loves with an infinite love, because he's God, can pay an infinite debt for us. Which is what he chooses to do when he dies on the cross. So, our own debt has been forgiven. This infinite debt that we've owed. How then do we forgive those who have sinned against us? Which in comparison, it's a much smaller sin. It's good for us to think about this. Little offenses, big offenses. Jesus is calling us to forgive them all. I remember really well one day when I was in New Ulm, and I worked very closely with the Handmaids of the Heart of Jesus when I was there, and I was very close with Mother Mary Claire, who's the superior. And one day I was in her office and we were having a conversation, and then a little bit later that afternoon I got a phone call from her, and she said, I just want to say I'm sorry for what I said earlier. And I was searching my mind to think of what did she even say. I didn't really know what she was talking about. So I said, well, I don't, but and anyway, she said, well, I said this and I ought not to have, and I'm sorry. And then she said, I tell our sisters that we have to ask for forgiveness quickly and forgive quickly. And I have thought of that so many times. It was actually just a few months later where I had a conflict and I made a decision rashly and ended up, offending the sisters. And so I tried to follow the example that had been set. I called as soon as I realized what I'd done, I called and I said, "I'm sorry." I was just thinking about this week, how some people are called to forgive really, really big sins committed against them or their family members. And I was thinking about that Charleston church shooting, which was in 2015 in South Carolina. And it was at a church. It's called, I had to write it down, it's Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church. And what happened is that they had a prayer group going on. And it was at night. It was like 9 o'clock in the evening. And it was a group of African Americans who were studying the scripture and praying. And there was a young white man who walked in, and he ended up being a white supremacist, but he walked in and he joined them in their Bible study, and he was participating in it. And then they started to pray, and then he stood up and started shooting. And nine of the people there were killed that day. And at the first court appearance shortly after that, many of the family members attended, and the judge gave them the opportunity to address the killer of their family members. And almost to a person, they got up. They said how hurt they had been, and they looked at the man who had killed their loved one, and they said, "I forgive you, and may God have mercy on your soul." These were the words of the daughter of a 70-year-old woman who was killed that day. She said, "You took something really precious from me. I will never speak to my mother again, but I forgive you. And have mercy on your soul. You hurt me. You hurt a lot of people. But God forgives you. I forgive you." So brothers and sisters, let's pray that God will help us to have mercy on those who have hurt us in our life. We can bring our need to do this to him as we encounter him tonight at Mass. May we be merciful to others and forgive, so that we may be forgiven and receive God's mercy.